Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
We continue on Liberty Conspiracy live on Free Talk Live.
All right, everybody, we've got so much to get into, and so we have the opportunity now to show you a little something that is the theme for the night. Here it is. This comes from, again, Anarcho-Christian, who posts some fantastic memes. Yes. As Moses stands there holding the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not murder. Well, but don't forget, little asterisks on those, unless the bad guy is standing behind the civilians. What else can you do, right? Yeah, those are the Ten Commandments according to Lindsey Graham, perhaps. So, last night was the very exciting GOP debate. I know, a lot of the people I know really enjoyed not watching it. However, I didn't watch the whole thing either, but I did watch pieces of it. I watched the pieces as they fell apart. And I got to say, it was pretty darn shocking. It was amazing to see. First of all, a lot of people are talking about Vivek Ramaswamy and how he handled himself. He's very impressive and so on. I got some problems with Vivek. We'll look at those tomorrow night as to whether or not one can really say that he trusts Vivek Ramaswamy after his association with the governor of Ohio and how he tried to sell a jab tracking system. Then there was the debate as to whether or not you've heard it before on the show. Evidently, he was listed as being associated with the World Economic Forum, and then he said that he wasn't, and I don't know. I don't know what to trust on that. But Vivek shone because he slammed the debate presenters and said that they were biased and that for month after month after month, they resisted actually telling the truth about the Hunter Biden laptop. They kept pushing forward the Russian interference narrative and so on when there wasn't any interference. And he was right about that. He also really slammed Nikki Haley and called her Dick Cheney in spike three-inch heels. And then he went so far as to say, hey, well, you know, you're critical of, was it TikTok or Instagram? But your daughter's on TikTok or Instagram. Her daughter's like 25 years old. So Nikki just could have come back and said, I mean, it's all like, you know, it's schoolyard bullying and announcing and fighting and stuff like that, that really isn't pertinent to real subjects. Although the Dick Cheney point about Nikki Haley was pretty darn smart and on the money. And not necessarily smart. It was pretty obvious. But also the observation about the news networks and their people and how they have hidden news and things. That also I thought was pretty valuable and came out at just the right time. So, however, this does stand because now we get the opportunity. I want to show you some of the segments that I've got of video on the consistently bloodthirsty and morally not just ambiguous, but empty, completely vacuous stances of these people when it comes to Israel and Hamas and essentially the idea that the United States must support the state of Israel and other places. Otherwise, the existence of the United States is at stake. No concern about the Constitution or declarations of war or the fact that without a declaration of war, the United States isn't supposed to be involved in these places. U.S. bases surrounding all these different places like Iran or inside places like Poland that they just opened up earlier in the year. So let me show you a couple of these segments. Get your thoughts. And here we go. This is first addressed to the man who very clearly had to have been aware of the torture that was going on Guantanamo when he was a JAG. He was there. He saw it. People who were there have recognized him on the island when they were there, and they were captured, and they were not given habeas, and they were tortured day after day after day. This is the man who, on one side of it, has allowed for a little bit more local control for education and has stood a little bit better regarding the right to life, but still is inconsistent on that, and also signed two bills into law in Israel that abridge the freedom of speech, especially when it comes to criticizing the state of Israel. Whether or not he was foreshadowing what was going to be coming with the Israeli-Gaza conflict, we don't know, but it sure was easy timing. So here is a question that was posed to Ron DeSantis, and it will show you just how completely off the path these people are and how they've twisted the Monroe Doctrine into offense is defense. The United States must peddle weapons and curry favors with bloodthirsty Zionist regimes. And I say that explicitly. That is what this Israeli regime is, clearly. Here we go.
As President of the United States, what would you be urging Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to do at this moment, Governor DeSantis?
I would be telling Bibi, finish the job once and for all with these butchers, Hamas.
Okay, so that is the first one. That's Ron DeSantis, and that's just amazingly ignorant to simply call the Hamas terrorist group the bloodthirsty group there. Clearly he's singling it out. He's befriending Bibi, calling him by his nickname, saying, finish the job. Israel, the state of Israel, the people who set up the state of Israel, they are just as culpable for thousands and thousands of deaths all through the decades since the creation of that nation state. This is not anti-Semitic speech, as I've mentioned. The Palestinians are Semitic people as well. There are many people who probably are inside Gaza who are related to people who are Jewish in the Zionist state, and they are attacking each other because Western influence put the Zionist state of Israel there in 1947, culminating decades of planning from Western forces that were allied with and tied to corporate monarchist forces from colonial Britain and the United States. So it's very obvious that the U.S. forces shouldn't be there. And it's also morally clear that I shouldn't be forced and you shouldn't be forced to have to say anything about picking a side about these things. But for Ron DeSantis to come out and say, finish the job, kill these bloodthirsty terrorists, and I'm paraphrasing now, is to only see one side of it. And that's the side that has responded with violence to the initial aggression from the West and the implantation of the Zionist state of Israel into that land. And as I mentioned, if you want to go back into the Bible and you want to say whose land is it, then I guess it belongs to the Canaanites. I don't know. But as far as it goes over the past over 150 years, it's very clear. It's spelled out in document after document after document, whether you look at the Balfour Declaration or not. It doesn't take long to see which side has been the most aggressive side and has pushed on these people, the Palestinians. And yes, they are violent reactors, but they are reactors in Hamas who were selected and pushed by the state of Israel and the United States. And the fact that the state of Israel and the politicians in the United States only this week saw one of their members in Congress propose legislation to ask Qatar where they are housing the heads of Hamas, who are multi-millionaires. The fact that it took them that long, over a month, to do something that we knew on day one here, that the leaders of Hamas were living in Qatar, that they won't recognize the fact that Qatar has some moral tarnish on it as well, shows just how flimsy their statements are about caring for innocent Israeli lives and bringing the terrorists to justice. That is not what this is about. It is about flushing out the remainder of the Palestinians in that land area and trying to allow the Zionist state to take it all. I have no cards in this game. I have no chips on the table. I'm not interested in making my neighbor have to decide, but they are. Let's see some more about this as other GOPers. I don't know. Maybe they were just all trying to curry favor with BAE Systems. Here we go.
The first thing I said to him when it happened was I said, finish them. Finish them.
I would tell him to smoke those terrorists on his southern border. And then I'll tell him as President of the United States, I'll be smoking the terrorists on our southern border.
If you want to stop the 40-plus attacks on military personnel in the Middle East, you have to strike in Iran.
Okay. So, similar to a headline we're going to see in just a minute from antiwar.com, every one of those things is repulsive, right? And I hate to have to open with such intense stuff. And you know, in a way, I'm sort of commiserating, I guess. I'm asking for commiseration with you because I'm seeing this stuff. And it's a very lonely feeling to say, to think to oneself, geez, these people are up on a stage. These are the major players for the GOP. Are you kidding me? Every one of these people is up there saying such bloodthirsty, completely off-base, off-kilter, anti-constitutional, anti-reality stuff, not even thinking that they might be putting themselves in a position where they're going to be open to criticism, because easily when you see the last statement, the latter of Tim Scott, saying, well, those people on the ground, they're put in danger. Well, why are they on the ground? Why are they there? I mean, that's, again, we're going to see something from Syria, and if hearing the mention of Syria, you know what I'm going to be discussing if you're aware of what happened just in Syria again. But the idea that United States interlopers who are there unconstitutionally carrying firearms that are gotten through the ill-gotten gains of our taxes being given to the military-industrial complex, the idea that they have to be there, as Tim Scott says, to defend themselves? Let's watch these again, one by one, and go through them.
The first thing I said to him when it happened was I said, finish them.
Okay, so clearly she's saying that she's very close to Bibi Netanyahu. I wouldn't be proud of that, ma'am. Okay? And we have your video where you said finish them, just like Lindsey Graham. We know what you said, and we know that that calls for, in any possible parlance, that calls for the deaths of thousands of innocent people. We know that. The minute you say that, we know that. How about you say, I don't live in your country. I don't want to have anything to do with it. I want to stop American taxpayers from having to pay for both sides, because they were paying for both sides, very disproportionately for the Israeli side for decades, to the tune of $3.8 billion for years. But they were also subsidizing the Hamas government, the government that, as you know, Bibi Netanyahu, our friend Bibi, wanted in there because he knew they would be recalcitrant. They wouldn't talk. They wouldn't negotiate. And he could use them as an oppositional force to say, we need to go in and fight these guys. He knew that they would come back violently. And yet he didn't call for them being extradited from Qatar. We didn't hear this from Nikki Haley. How come we didn't hear any of these people talking about, hey, those people who lead Hamas should be extradited from Qatar? Why? Because the people, the Qatari leadership, is very close friends with the CIA. As I mentioned last night, they were intimately involved in the rat lines to funnel weapons through Qatar into places like Libya for the overthrow of Gaddafi. And then they wanted to get the weapons up into Syria, but the Benghazi incident happened that night when they were supposed to transfer some of those weapons. Just read some of Seymour Hersh's stuff on the rat lines. They also had connections going into Turkey, but Erdogan has not necessarily been on the CIA side for a while now. So they've been working in opposition to him, sometimes friendly to him. It's been a difficult road for those CIA folks. So that woman on the screen right there to say finish them has to know what a loaded statement that is. That doesn't come clean. okay, as Echo and the Bunnymen would say, you can't do that clean. So how about you don't have a place to say anything about that? It's not your place. Finish them. Oh, but that's right. People who support you at military industrial contractors like it when you say that. Now let's continue.
I would tell him to smoke those terrorists on his southern border. And then I'll tell him as president of the United States, I'll be smoking the terrorists on our southern border.
So don't forget, of course, that the smoking of the terrorists on their southern border. Well, the southern region of Gaza was, as we mentioned, where one of the IDF heads said, or one of the heads of their military, said more than once in an interview, we want those people who are refugees, the civilians, to move south. Even as he said that, I said, they're bombing that area. And they were. And then guess what? They continued to bomb it, and we showed shots of it yesterday. So the very place where they're saying the refugees need to escape, because, of course, the Hamas guys are hiding behind the innocents. So in order to save the innocents in this area that Israel has concentrated more and more and more and more, they have to move in that tiny, tiny area into a place where the Israeli forces say, go there, and then they bomb it. It's insane. It is like an insane asylum being run by the crazy people. And then we've got Tim Scott with his statement.
If you want to stop the 40-plus attacks on military personnel in the Middle East, you have to strike in Iran.
If you want to stop the 40-plus attacks of military personnel who are in places where they're not supposed to be, you need to declare war, or maybe not even declare war, just attack a sovereign nation state that is surrounded, as Elon Musk and many of you have seen that meme, surrounded by U.S. military bases, but for some reason doesn't have its military bases all around the world. Right? How odd. That would be the nation state of Iran that the United States overthrew in 1953. The nation state of Iran when there was a counter coup decades later, not a counter coup, but a counter revolution decades later, to toss out the Shah, who was implanted by the U.S. CIA. When they took over and they became the radical Islamist state of Iran, right? Suddenly, the state of Israel under Saddam Hussein declares war against them. And the United States puppet of Saddam Hussein gets chemical weapons and all sorts of banned munitions that he can use on the Iranians. Crazy. That's absolutely crazy. That is just part of what we got to see last night. There's also another part, and I'll discuss it tomorrow, about Nikki Haley's absurd position on abortion. But for more, I want to turn to the very insightful folks at the Ron Paul website, or the Ron Paul channel for the Ron Paul Liberty Report and the Ron Paul Institute for Peace. Here is some very good responsive material that you can check out. Kim Iverson retweeted this, and Dan McAdams picked up on it, and Ron Paul and Dan McAdams pick up on what seems to be happening now, seeing what happened last night on that debate stage with the GOP. Real quick, here we go.
You know, the person that posted that little clip, that little montage, if you can go to the next, if you can go to that next, not audio clip, but the next picture, this is what he said as a comment under that quote, and this is, I'm really important, I don't know who it is, but he says, Gaza wouldn't exist right now if the GOP were in control. People should be thankful we have President Biden in charge. And it's not long ago I would have laughed at that, but looking at what they've said, I realize it's actually true. And Kim Iverson, who I think is very independent-minded, you can't pin where she is politically, which is good. That means she's actually thinking. And she had a very good comment on this clip we just watched. She said, Republicans absolutely would be worse in this moment with this particular conflict. And that she means Gaza. And they're worse with China, too. Since the Russia-Ukraine war is now at a stalemate, and there's no real risk of escalation, I can now say the GOP is hands down, once again, the most dangerous warmongering of the two parties. And that is a little hard to accept, but I think she's absolutely right.
Yeah, she is. And you can pick and choose on the day of the week, because some are going to be worse than others. But still, back to the total philosophy, you know, the interventionism and the annoyance. Because there was a time that when I was very pleased to try to work with progressive Democrats who took the position of less warmongering. And
so we'll see. I mean, who would have thought that you'd be getting you'd be at least getting more common sense from the squad members, right? Talk about common sense. Let's turn to antiwar.com right now. I made reference to this just about 4 minutes ago. This is what I'm discussing about Syria. More U.S. airstrikes in eastern Syria against IRGC site. And there's even more. Wait till you see this. And, of course, the argument is, well, we've got to protect American interests there. What American interests? What are you talking about? I don't understand this. You're an occupying agency. U.S. launches more airstrikes in eastern Syria against IRGC site. The Pentagon says the strikes targeted a facility used by Iran's IRGC and affiliated groups, referring to Shia militias. The Pentagon said on Wednesday, oh, but they must be listening to Tim Scott. I guess you can just do it anywhere, anytime. The Pentagon said on Wednesday night that the U.S. launched more airstrikes on eastern Syria that targeted a facility used by Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, IRGC, and affiliated groups. Well, they need to get affiliated with the U.S. That's the thing. They need to get affiliated with the U.S. and try to overthrow Assad. Then everything would be fine. It's totally cool. Just look at ISIS. Look at the Al-Nusra Front. Look at the Nazis in Ukraine. As long as you do what the U.S. government wants, it doesn't matter what your moral ambiguity might be. Go for it. Quote, this strike was conducted by two U.S. F-15s. Wow, that's really cool that though they suddenly appear over there. It's like they belong there in that 59th state against a weapons storage facility. Yeah, you know, sort of like the weapons storage facilities that the United States helped prop up for Saddam Hussein. But continuing, Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin said in a statement, now, I wonder when Lloyd Austin will be prosecuted for war crimes. We'll see. We'll be back with more Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. Listen to Liberty Conspiracy Live every Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on Gardner Goldsmith's Twitter, at Gard Goldsmith, or stream and chat with the other chatters at Rumble and Rothman. Just look us up under Liberty Conspiracy.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA News Update. In a recent interview with Univision, former President Trump commented on the ongoing Israel-Hamas conflict, expressing the view that the situation will need to unfold naturally.
So you have a war that's going on, and you're probably going to have to let this play out.
Trump highlighted the challenge posed by the long-standing hatred between Israelis and Palestinians. Major players in the tech industry are unveiling a new wave of workforce reductions. Amazon is downsizing its music division, the most recent job cuts impacting workers in Latin America, North America, and Europe. Simultaneously, Google is set to reduce its staff in the consumer services department. The state of Washington faces the most severe pothole problem in the U.S., according to data from USA Today, using Google Trends data from the last 3 years. Following Washington, Minnesota, and Michigan are also identified as states with terrible potholes. John Schaefer, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to GCNfood.com. GCNfood.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Continue on Liberty Conspiracy Live on Free Talk Live. You look at the stark difference between information sharing that we get to do and the lack of transparency and information sharing from the so-called gatekeepers of truth. The arbiters of truth, the government, you know, they tell you, well, we're worried about misinformation and disinformation and so on and so forth. And we sift through things. You know, I'm going through stuff earlier today about the Yemenis downing the U.S. drone. Is that confirmable? It does look like it is. I'm looking at the information about the IDF and whether or not the IDF fired on its own people and possibly on some of those victims of that October 7th raid. Looks like that is confirmed as well. But then, you know, you put a caveat out there, and then we get to all sit through it. We're all researchers. We communicate with each other. When they claim that they're the ones who can hold on to the information, they have every incentive to manipulate the information themselves, first of all, because they don't have any checkers at all. They can fund anybody they want to so-called fact check and block us, which, you know, you've heard it before. That happened to me. It's probably happened to you. I have my friends at MRC TV. You know, it's been unbelievable, and they want to do even more, right? So it's an amazing thing to see that stark difference between the almost lightning fast ability that we have. And Twitter has improved in this regard. It's been a great thing to see, to be able to share information, get that information out, and so on and so forth, right? At the same time, how stodgy the government is for their own benefit to not give us information, right? To slow stuff down, to manipulate things, to give us different ideas, different angles and things like that. And with that in mind, I want to turn to a couple pieces of information. Yeah, just as reminders, again,
talked about this as a reminder last night. We had the Stanford University, in addition to the Virality Project, they had the Election Integrity Partnership, and the House Judiciary Committee noted that they were working with the government to try to affect social media to block posts that they didn't like politically. So that's a pretty big deal. Now, a couple other things I want to mention, and I brought this up very briefly, that if you do a quick Google search, you'll see some stuff on this. But first, let me show you what the activist post had on this. FCC commissioner warns Biden's digital equity plan allows federal government to, quote, micromanage nearly every aspect of how the internet functions. Now, this is separate and different from what you saw me report on at MRC TV, which is his executive order that he issued last week on so-called artificial intelligence. And there's my video about it. You can check that out over at MRC TV, right? I have that all there. It's the executive order on the safe, secure, and trustworthy development and use of artificial intelligence. And as I noted, you can find the hyperlink to it there. I'll just click on it so you can see it. October 30th was the date. So it was actually even earlier than I thought it was. And then you go into some of the details of it, and I've got details quoted in there about different things, testing and evaluations, including post-deployment performance for monitoring AI and all these different things. And as I noted, if people think this is not going to touch them, they have to remember that the so-called Coalition for Content Provenance and Authenticity, C2PA, has been around for a long time. It includes organizations tied to the British government like the BBC, Microsoft, Sony, Adobe, and others, major corporations. And they want to make sure that the hardware inside your computer all is traceable, and anything you produce on the computer has an attached identifier on it that can be so-called authenticated. In other words, that you can be identified. But in addition to that, I noted that the executive order from Biden requires different branches of the federal government, and especially within the Defense Department, so-called, to find out anything that is so-called dual use. Dual use applies to civil or what they claim is military applications of any software, any kind of artificial intelligence. That is any program. So anything that goes into that, whether it be a letter or a number or anything, could be used for dual use. It could be used for civil or military purposes. It opens the door to let the federal government, without the Fourth Amendment being recognized, search or demand papers from anyone. And again, I'll refer this to you here. It says companies developing or demonstrating an intent to develop potential dual-use foundation models to provide the federal government, they must, on an ongoing basis, with information, reports, or records regarding the following: any ongoing or planned activities related to training, developing, or producing dual-use foundation models, including the physical and cybersecurity protections taken to assure the integrity of that training process against sophisticated threats. So you have to give them all your codes. You'll have to show them everything. Everything's going to be transparent to them, and they don't want to be transparent to you. And besides that, they don't have any moral or constitutional power to do that. And even if they had something written in the Constitution, it wouldn't be a moral power. It's just a bunch of goons, right? So that, again, is the Biden AIEO from October 30th. My piece on this came out November 5th. By the way, my piece on the tariffs has not come out yet at MRC TV. I'm not sure if they're waiting to get closer to the meeting between the Chinese leader and so-called leader and Joe Biden. I'm not sure about that. But we'll find out more later. But I also want to refer you to the activist post, back to the activist post, to the FCC. Now, again, this is a reminder for people, and I posted about this at Twitter today, and you can find another story about this on Twitter, and I've responded to it today if you want more information about this. But being frank, at Activist Post writes, the Federal Communications Commission, and that is the source of the problem. We need to just make sure that people don't, you know, again, don't lose the forest for the trees here. The Federal Communications Commission is supposed to protect Americans from the telecom industry. Well, that's what they tell you. It actually controls speech. It's unconstitutional, and it divvies up power and plays favorites. It's a power gaming system. Years ago, it was identified as a captured agency because it has a tendency to not do so. For example, in 2021, a federal court ruled in favor of petitioners who sued the agency for not updating wireless radiation guidelines, including 5G, since 1996. That was the 1996 Telecommunications Act that started to open things up for cell phones and allotted a bunch of the spectrum away from broadcast television towards cell phones over the years, which is one of the reasons why I had a professor who invested very early in cell phone technology, became a multimillionaire. He was aware of what was going on. And the agency refuses to address this. Nevertheless, recently, FCC Commissioner Brendan Carr issued a warning that should send shockwaves throughout the country. Federal Communications Commissioner Carr is calling the Biden administration's digital equity plan for all internet services and infrastructure an unlawful power grab. Now, this comes in conjunction. It's not completely the same thing as the so-called, what do they call that, net neutrality. Okay, this is more than net neutrality. Here we go. President Biden's plan hands the administrative state effective control of all internet services and infrastructure in the country. So before I go on, let me just mention, net neutrality is the FCC telling internet service providers and cable companies that they can't charge more for those who would like to get faster service at their home or business. That's a complete infringement of contract. People should be able to do that if they want to, right? It might not be existing contract, but it's an impediment against future contract. It's an impediment against, it's an impediment blocking future developments. It blocks the incentivization of development that could lead to faster internet. If companies see that the door is open to allow them to gain more in profit by providing a faster service, well, they would definitely be incentivized to do so. If you got a burger joint that can make 10 burgers per hour, but there's a demand for 15 burgers per hour, why would you not think it's bad for the state to say you can't charge more to deliver things more quickly? You should be able to invest in that and deliver it more quickly because you've got a greater demand from some people. Hey, I need 15 burgers in an hour. I need it for my office. Sorry, can't do that. Right? It should be up to us. Biden's plan hands the administrative state effective control of all internet services and infrastructure in the country. Never before in the roughly 40-year history of the public internet has the FCC or any federal agency for that matter claimed this degree of control over it. Indeed, President Biden's plan calls for the FCC to apply a far-reaching set of government controls, including net neutrality, but that's just part of it, that the agency has not applied to any technology in the modern era, including Title II common carriers. Carr previewed an important FCC vote next week on November 15th, and it's dominated by left-wingers now, about whether to implement the president's plan. So maybe some conservatives might have woken up years ago to say the FCC is unconstitutional and needs to be eliminated. But then again, if that was challenged, maybe it would have gone to a Supreme Court that was populated by mostly left-wingers at that time. Let's say when Reagan was around. Who knows, right? All these things have been set up against us to actually continue the growth of the government. These agencies are never eliminated. And if people try to eliminate them and there are lawsuits against it, then you've got to see, well, what political paradigm was operating when that person was appointed, when that person was appointed in the judicial branch. And, of course, we still have to pay for all of it. So here's Brendan Carr. He says, next week, the FCC will vote on President Biden's plan to give the administrative state effective control of all internet services and infrastructure. I oppose President Biden's sweeping, unprecedented, and unlawful plan. Here's a little bit more. And the name of this, Office of Commissioner Brendan Carr. Carr opposes President Biden's plan to give the administrative state effective control. He says Democrats have been in charge of the FCC and administrative agencies in D.C. for approaching 12 out of the last 16 years. They have had the opportunity over that stretch of time to put in place nearly any federal telecom policy of their choosing. In fact, the federal government has allocated hundreds of billions of taxpayer dollars for the purpose of ending the digital divide, while Democrats have run the administrative state. After all that time and after all of that spending, the Biden administration has concluded that the Democrats' policies are not working. So the Biden administration, he says, is taking away all the wrong lessons from its failed broadband policies. Well, there should be nothing to do with this. This is the problem for Mr. Carr. You shouldn't be there. You shouldn't be playing favorites. He says, last month, President Biden gave the FCC its marching orders. The president called on the FCC to implement a one-page section of the 2021 Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, the Infrastructure Act, by adopting new rules of breathtaking scope, all in the name of so-called digital equity. For the first time ever, those rules would give the federal government a roving mandate to micromanage every aspect of how the internet functions, from how ISPs allocate capital and where they build, to the services that consumers can purchase, from the profits that ISPs can realize and how they market and advertise services, to the discounts and promotions that consumers can receive. Talk about central planning. And none of that will contribute to a better internet for us. Writes Carr, needless to say, Congress never contemplated the sweeping regulatory regime the President Biden asked the FCC to adopt, let alone did they authorize the agency to implement it. Nonetheless, the commission will vote next week, November 15th. And I just want to give you a little more on the next page here real quick. Thumbnails. It says, don't take my word for it. The text of the order expressly provides that the FCC would be empowered for the first time to regulate each and every ISP. Bullet point one. They have a quote. He has a quote, Secretary Carr here from the FCC. Network infrastructure deployment, network reliability, network upgrades, network maintenance, customer premises equipment, and installation. So they can even monitor the installation going into your home. Bullet point two, speeds, capacities, latency, data caps, throttling, pricing, promotional rates, and they'll just say throttling when they want to. They won't even prove it. They just threaten. That's one of the big things. It's all going to be up to their arbitrary claims. And then it'll be up to the corporation staff to respond in court, which will be expensive. So what will they do? They'll conform. Promotional rates, imposition of late fees, opportunity for equipment rental, installation time, contract renewal terms, service termination terms, and use of customer credit and account history. Finally, and this is just the bullet points. I'm not going to go into the rest of it. It's if you want to read the whole thing, check it out. You can find it via the Activist Post folks. I've retweeted it. It's way down in my tweets. I'll retweet this as well after the show tonight from Brendan Carr, so it's easier for you to find if you want to get this information. I want to make sure this information is as available to you as possible so that this is a good resource for you every night at 6 o'clock to come and say, okay, I want to get that. I want to find that. Guard's got that. Guard's got this. So I hope I'm doing a good job for you. Mandatory arbitration clauses. Pricing, deposits, discounts, customer service, language options, credit checks, marketing or advertising, contract renewal, upgrades, account termination, transfers to another covered entity, and service suspension. All will be covered. I'm retweeting that right now. You can find that on my Twitter feed, at Guard Goldsmith, right now if you want to find it. Now, again, forest for the trees. The forest here is their constitution is being misread through the Interstate Commerce Clause. And they, since the creation of the Federal Radio Commission, which originally started to cover telegraph and then went on to radio, even as they gave AT&T a monopoly over telephones during World War One, and that AT&T monopoly over phones lasted for decades after that, almost to the turn of the century, and since saw AT&T split into things like 9X, Pac Bell, and things like that, which then turned into things like Verizon. So we are dealing now with the latent after effects of a corporate fascist system stemming from even before World War One, with part of the big corporate hand that puts its fingers on the scales, the FCC, which was started as the FRC, the Federal Radio Commission. Its argument, the argument behind it, of course, is that things go over, radio waves go over state borders. They need to be controlled by the government. It's in the Constitution, the Interstate Commerce Clause. It can do that. As I've mentioned, that pertains to state-on-state conflicts, and it's supposed to be about tariffs imposed by some states against products coming in from other states. James Madison noted in letters that it is a remedial measure, not a preemptive measure, and it's state to state with capital S, not person to person within the states. So that is an absolutely fallacious argument. The second part of it is, and I've mentioned this, I actually got in a disagreement and conversation with then Congressman, now Senator Ed Markey on a plane in Washington's Reagan Airport at the time. And 2004, February 2004, March of 2004, March. And they were trying to impose steeper penalties through the FCC for what the federal government calls indecency. Again, Congress is prohibited from infringing on the freedom of speech, explicitly prohibited. So the states are not. The FCC is an absolute affront to the founders' concepts. And it would behoove anybody who gets into that office, whether it's the presidency or even the Congress, they're swearing oaths. All the bureaucrats swear oaths. Maybe they could read it and actually be honest with themselves rather than living a lie. The FCC is unconstitutional. It always has been used to play favorites, to hand out licenses to people who play the game the way the politicians want it played. Roosevelt was a master of this. As I mentioned, television came in 5 years later than it should have because the FCC at that time, which was the FRC, was being manipulated by the people who ran it, and they had cozy friends with radio broadcasters. The radio broadcasters knew that there would be competition. So until the radio broadcasters could get into television broadcasting and amass the wealth, they didn't want any competition. They wanted to be able to start their own television. They had to wait. And, of course, the FRC would not license television. Imagine all the great inventions that could have come around if they had allowed it to happen. They delayed it. They delayed the development of human civilization. They retarded it. That's what government always does. Because developments only come naturally through us making our own decisions. The basic axiom of economics. As Ludwig von Mises pointed out. As so many in the Austrian school have pointed out. Murray Rothbard and others. And in fact, I'll show you on my Twitter feed if you want to see. There's a great quote from Murray Rothbard that sort of fits tonight's program, brought to you by BAE Systems, of course. But on the freedom front, let's just mention that, not Murray Rothbard, Ludwig von Mises, who escaped from the Nazis, almost was killed trying to escape from the Nazis. He wrote this about transactions and money and how they reveal preferences. And they allow us to figure out what is resourceful and what is not and signal that to others. Money is the universally used medium of exchange, nothing else. Only because money is the common medium of exchange, because most goods and services can be sold and bought on the market against money, and only as far as this is the case can men use money prices in reckoning. And that is how even people who don't meet each other can signal their values to others, and people can adjust their performance in their life to actually serve the purposes of people they've never met. And if you ever want to give a great essay to a youngster, have them read I, Pencil by Reed. If you get a chance, read I, Pencil. There's an audio version on YouTube. Play it for kids a couple times. Ask them their opinions about it. Talking about children, I'm going to round off the show with this, everybody. This is a sad story coming out of England. LifeSite News. UK judge orders 8-month-old taken off life support despite Italy offering treatment and citizenship. This was supposed to happen today. I haven't seen whether there's a follow-up. Let me just renew this. We'll take this off. Oh, there are two other stories I want to share with you. There is the image. That's Indy Gregory. Nottingham, England. I've been in Nottingham. It's an interesting place. Of course, Sheriff of Nottingham, you know, Robin Hood, all the legends there. It's in the Midlands. A UK judge has ruled that life support for 8-month-old Indy Gregory must be withdrawn Thursday, thus rejecting the efforts of the baby's parents along with offers of treatment from a Roman hospital and Italian citizenship. On the afternoon of November 8th, Mr. Justice Robert Peel, government so-called justice, ruled that life support for Indy is to be withdrawn as of 2 p.m. local time. So that would have been 9 a.m. our time. Hospital authorities even threatened to remove her life support today without her family being present. I'm going to go down to the bottom here, see if there's an update. I don't see any updates, so I'll try to get that information for you tomorrow rather than searching for it right now. But you can find the information at LifeSite. There's Giorgio Meloni, who offered citizenship to the child. I'm Gardner Goldsmith. Thanks for tuning in. Listen to Liberty Conspiracy live every Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on Gardner Goldsmith's Twitter, at Gard Goldsmith. Or stream and chat with the other chatters at Rumble and Rockfin. Just look us up under Liberty Conspiracy.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.